Hare Krishna. I hope and pray that everyone is all right. Please excuse whatever mistakes or offenses we may have made unto all of you. Today, I was asked to speak something on the life of Srila Rupa Goswami. Our sampradaya is called the Rupanuga Sampradaya, which means that all devotees following in our sampradaya are meant to very carefully follow the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago and spoke the Gita. The teachings of Bhagavad Gita are eternal, without beginning and without end. However, Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, performed his wonderful pastimes and reiterated his divine message out of his great compassion for all suffering souls within this world. 500 years ago, that same Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all avatars, appeared in his original transcendental nature as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, considered to be the most munificent of all incarnations. For one reason is that Krishna wanted to taste the sweet ecstasy of Srimati Radharani's love. Srimati Radharani is the Hladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the Lord. It is from her alone that Krishna derives all of his transcendental pleasure. Krishna wanted to experience the love of Radharani. So he appeared with the complexion and the mood of devotion of Sri Radharani, and that is Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to give that same love to everyone and anyone without discrimination through the propagation of the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya only personally wrote 8 verses that we know of today, Shikshastakam. However, he personally entrusted and empowered Srila Rupa Goswami to very, very carefully propagate through the writing of transcendental literatures the very basis of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Rupa Goswami's writings and his examples is the inspiring force behind our whole sampradaya. And therefore, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, before pursuing the fulfillment of His Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission of spreading the teachings of Lord Chaitanya all over the world in the English language, he went to live in the Radha Damodar Temple to be right beside the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Rupa Goswami. In Vaishnav culture, we understand that the personality is within his samadhi with a very forceful presence even after his disappearance. And by praying and worshipping the great acharyas at their samadhis, we can be fully confident that they hear our prayers and bestow their blessings upon us if we are sincere. Srila Prabhupada would every day pray at the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami at his Samadhi Mandir in Vrindavan to give him the necessary potency to perform this extraordinary service of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. As Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Srila Rupa Goswami and told him to take those instructions and put them in book form and practice them in his life, Srila Prabhupada began his writing of Srimad Bhagavatam just at the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. How important the blessings of Srila Rupa Goswami are to each and every one of us. How to describe the glorious life of such a transcendental personality who has descended from the spiritual world? I am quite ashamed to even make such an attempt. But at the request of the Vaishnavas, I beg your permission to try according to my small capacity. We are all insignificant. To describe the Lord's and his devotees' glories for someone so small as myself is like a bird trying to reach the limits of the sky. How far can we go? What justice can we do? However, for our own purification, we will make some attempt. In the Adi Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains that on the western side of the tree of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the 43rd, 44th, and 45th branches were Srila Sanatan Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, and Anupam. And they are the best of all. Srila Jiva Goswami explains the genealogical history of his family. Srila Rupa Goswami was born in the Saraswat Brahmin community in Karnataka from the Bharadvaj Gotra, the family line of the great, great Rishi Bharadraj Muni. In the 12th century Shakabda era, there was a great king of Karnataka. His name was Sarvagya Jagat Guru. He was a Yajurvedi, great, great scholar of the Vedas. He was Brahmin, and he had so much influence and power that even all the other kings would honor him and respect him. He had a son named Aniruddhadev. Aniruddhadev, it is said, he had the spirit of Indra and he had the fame of Chandra, the god of the moon. He was a great devotee and a great scholar of the Vedic literatures. Aniruddhadev had two sons. The eldest son was named Rupeshwar, who was famous for his great, great learning of the scriptures. And the younger son was named Harihara, who was very much a master of the art and science of weapons. Just after they were married, Aniruddhadev disappeared from this world. And Harihara, the younger son, he usurped the entire kingdom, took away all power and position from his older brother, Rupeshwar. So Rupeshwar and his wife, they boarded a chariot led by 8 horses, and they traveled out of Karnataka toward Orissa and Bengal. And there they settled down. They had a son of the name Padmanabha, who was very beautiful, very virtuous, and was a very pure devotee of Lord Jagannath. He decided to settle near the Ganges in a place called Navahata. And he performed a very great yajna, and as a result, he received 18 daughters and 5 sons. The youngest of the sons was named Mukundadev. Mukundadev had several children. One of them was named Kumardev. He was a very great devotee, very pious soul. Kumardev had some family problems, so he moved to Bangladesh, to a place called Bakla Chandradweep, I believe. And then he also built a house in a place called Fatyabad, because many Vaishnavas lived there, and he wanted to have that association and communication with Vaishnavas. He married a very chaste and faithful young lady named Revati Devi, and from Kumar Dev and Revati Devi, several children were born, 3 of whom are illustrious, famous as the greatest amongst all Vaishnavas. Their names are now known as Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Anupam. It is said at the time Sanatan Goswami was named Amara, and Rupa Goswami was Santosh, and Anupam was Sri Ballabha. As they grew up, they were Mahapurushas. They had such physical beauty, such mental clarity, such natural compassion and love for every living being, and such unlimited ocean of devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were also the greatest of all scholars. They mastered Sanskrit, Arabic, Persian, and all of the local languages. At that time, Bengal was under the Mughal rule, and the emperor, or the king, was named the Nawab Hussein Shah. His ministers told him that if you want the Hindu population to be cooperative with you, you must have this Rup and Sanatan as your ministers. So he persuaded them by pressurizing that if you accept the position of my ministers, I will protect you and give the Vaishnavas and Hindus freedom. If you do not, I will persecute you and I will persecute and torture all the Vaishnavas and Hindus alike. So with this unfortunate burden upon their hearts, Sanatan and Rupa and Sri Ballabha decided that out of compassion they must serve the king. They were such incredible ministers. He made Sanatan Goswami the prime minister of all of Bengal and Rupa Goswami the home minister. And he was so pleased with their incredible efficiency and their good natures that he accepted them just like his own younger brothers, and divided the entire kingdom with them. He gave them tremendous amount of wealth. They settled in a place called Ramakeli. And there they had constructed beautiful, beautiful, opulent palaces. They had so much money, treasures. But they always felt so ashamed and contaminated that they were doing this service. They were always in deep, deep separation from Krishna and Vrindavan. They did not know what to do. They heard that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had appeared. And in their heart of hearts, they understood he was Krishna himself. They wrote letters, several letters to him, asking, "We want to surrender our lives to your mission. What should we do?" But they received no reply for some time. In their natural devotion to Radha and Krishna, they constructed within their estate what they called Gupta Vrindavan, or the hidden land of Vrindavan. And there they made a replica of Vrindavan. They constructed Shama Kund and Radha Kund and a beautiful, beautiful forest called Kadamba Karana. And they excavated so many wonderful places depicting Krishna's Leela. And they would spend their days just roaming through Gupta Vrindavan. And in separation of Krishna, immersed in thinking of his wonderful pastimes, they would simply cry in ecstatic love. They also installed a beautiful deity of the name Madan Mohan. And day and night they were immersed in thinking of Madan Mohan and worshipping him with great love and devotion. They were such great scholars. They built an assembly house, and in their court of that assembly house, they would invite Vaishnavas and great scholars of the Vedas from all over the country. And they were so loved and so known by everyone that from all parts of this great country, scholars and Vaishnavas would come, especially those from Sri Navadvip Dham. When they would come, Rupan Sanatan and Anupam, how they would greet them. It is described when they were sitting in the court with all of these professors, they looked like Indra in the heavenly planets. They had such opulence and such beauty, and so many people gathered around them, honoring them and respecting them. Yet they were so humble. Just by smiling at people, they would completely capture their hearts. Whoever came in contact with Rupa and Sanatan, they loved them more dear than their own life. And even though they were so wealthy with such high positions, they did not have even one grain of pride within their hearts. They would get off their seats and they would very humbly honor and worship with the most intimate hospitality any guest, whoever they were, whatever their status may have been, who came into their court. They would arrange nice facilities for them and houses for them on the banks of the Ganges. They spent so much of their money just to serve the devotees. And how much their minds were fixed just on humbly serving. Recently we went to Ramakeli and we bathed in Rups Sagara and Sanatan Sagara, beautiful bathing places that Rup and Sanatan also excavated. In this way they were living, and Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami accepted as their spiritual guide Saravananda Vidya Vachaspati, who was the brother of Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and a very, very pure unalloyed devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vidya Vachaspati would regularly come to Ramakeli to give instructions to Rup and Sanatan and Sri Ballabha Anupam. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during his first, or actually second, attempt to visit Vrindavan, he decided to take a route which was not at all on the way, specifically because he wanted to give his mercy to Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling from Kuliagram in Navadvip toward Ramakeli, hundreds and thousands of people were following behind him. Wherever he would go, he would induce everyone to raise their arms very high and very loudly chant the holy names of Lord Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Whoever saw the beauty of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing, and whoever accepted his mercy in the form of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, their hearts would swell with uncontrollable ecstatic love for Krishna. When he came to Ramakeli, there were so big crowds of people around him, all chanting and dancing. Ramakeli was the capital city of the Nawab Hussein Shah, who did not bother the Hindus as long as they did not publicly enact any of their religious ceremonies. Otherwise, he was so cruel that if a person of a higher caste even touched his shadow, or even touched the wind that had touched him, they would jump in the Ganges to become purified. He was so cruel, so wicked. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, fearlessly dancing and chanting with a large kirtan. Tonight we're going to be going on a kirtan with about 1,000 people through the streets of Pune. But you can imagine Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leading a kirtan with hundreds and thousands. At times there were millions and millions through the village of Ramakeli. And one, the Nawab Hussain Shah heard something was happening, And one policeman came to him. The policeman, he said to the Nawab that someone has come to our kingdom. He's so beautiful. He has a complexion like resplendent gold. He has beautiful eyes like lotus petals. His neck is like that of a lion. His chest like an elephant. I mean, his limbs like an elephant. He has a very thin waist. And his eyebrows are like the bows of Kandarpa. And by his mere glance, he is intoxicating people with love of God. How he dances. He's constantly crying. I do not know how many rivers are flowing from his beautiful eyes. And his limbs are trembling. His hairs are standing on end. And sometimes he shouts so loud, it sounds like thunder. And he jumps in the air and he falls to the ground and all the rocks and stones are broken to pieces. Yet his body, which appears to be softer than butter, is never harmed. This great prophet who has come to your kingdom has completely intoxicated everyone. The Hindus, the Muslims, everyone. Their arms are raised, they're dancing in ecstasy, and they're all chanting the holy names of Krishna. I have seen many sannyasis and many babas and many saintly persons of so many different religions, but no one who has the power, the beauty, and the influence of this person's love. I think that we are very fortunate that he has come. So the king decided to consult with Keshava Khan. He said, I heard that a sannyasi has come to our kingdom. Do you know anything about him? Keshava Khan replied, actually, he's just a beggar. People are exaggerating his glories. He's just roaming from here to there, begging for some alms, and a few people may be following him, but he's a very ordinary person. Keshava Khan said this because he knew who Lord Chaitanya was, and he did not want the king to become envious. When the Nawab Husain Shah, just by hearing the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without even seeing him, his heart became so transcendentally affected that he said to Keshava Khan, what are you saying? Do you not know that who the Vedas call Krishna and who the Quran calls Allah, that same supreme truth, the personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the ultimate worshipable object of everyone, has come to our kingdom to give love of God, and you are calling him an ordinary person. This is a great aparad. On this day, I proclaim a law that this sannyasi, this great prophet, wherever he wants to dance and chant, any way he wants to preach, he should not in any way be disturbed. And anyone who disturbs him, whether they are a qazi, a policeman, a politician, or anyone, I will personally torture and take that man's life. Let Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preach to his heart's content. Then the Nawab Husain Shah called for Srila Rupa Goswami. And he asked him, Do you know about this great prophet that has come to our kingdom? Rupa Goswami replied that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is only by his mercy that you have this kingdom. Whatever success and opulences you have received is only by his blessings. And he is very favorable toward you. And by his mercy, you will be victorious wherever you go. But you are the king. You are the representative of God. Therefore, why are you asking me who he is? You should understand with your own mind. The Nawab Husayn Shah replied, with my own mind I have understood that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no doubt about it. Then Srila Rupa Goswami returned to his residence. And he and Sanatan and Sri Ballava, they contemplated in their hearts how they would go to meet Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the dead of the night, they went to the same place that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his glorious kirtan with millions of people. Lord Chaitanya was dancing and chanting in a place where there is a tamal tree and a kadamba tree. And there millions of people were singing and dancing in ecstasy for days and days. But the devotees, they were thinking that this is not safe. Because the Nawab Husayn Shah at any moment could change his mind, and he's very cruel. He has heard good things about the Lord, but if he hears bad things, it is not good. So they sent a messenger to Lord Chaitanya. Please, there is no need for you to stay in the town of the king. But Lord Chaitanya, when he would do kirtan, he was so absorbed in the holy name that he would not speak to anyone. It did not matter what kind of emergency situation it may be. He did not even consider anything but Harinam. This was his absorption. This messenger was standing there with the message, waiting for a moment to speak to the Lord. He waited all day and all night and all day and all night. Finally, he had to go. And he told the message to Lord Chaitanya's intimate associates. And even they could not give him the message. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu was simply dancing in ecstatic love so beautifully with his arms raised, inducing all the millions of people of Ramakeli to chant the holy names of the Lord. This is a human echo. In the spiritual world, everything is personal, even the echo. After some time, Sri Gaur Sundar understood the hearts of his devotees, and he stopped the kirtan and said, why are you afraid of this king? Whose power does that king imbibe? If I do not give him the power to speak, he cannot say a word from me. If I do not give him the power to walk, he cannot come here. I have descended from this spiritual world to give the holy name of Krishna and pure love of God to everyone and anyone who will accept it. And it was in Ramkeli that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke the famous verse that we quote all of the time. In every town and every village throughout the world, my name will be chanted. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in response to the desire of the Vaishnavas, he stopped the kirtan and he rested under that tamal tree. In the dead of night, incognito, Rup, Sanatan, and Anupam came to the place of Lord Chaitanya. They first met Lord Nityananda and Srila Haridas Thakur, and after offering their most humble obeisances to these great souls, they revealed their hearts to them. Nityananda Prabhu and Srila Haridas Thakur brought them in to see Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They introduced them. Rupa and Sanatan and Anupam, they took straw, bunch of straw, and placed it between their teeth. They took cloth and wrapped it around their necks. They fell, offering dandavats like a stick to the ground. And laying on the ground, they were weeping and crying in total humility and surrender. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally lifted them up. And the three brothers began to speak. You have descended to deliver the most fallen. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But you will find no one so fallen as us. We are abominable. We are addicted to the most sinful activities. We are ashamed to stand before you. And we are even more ashamed to even try to explain how sinful we are. All we have is shame. We are more sinful, more fallen than even Jagai and Madhai. Because although Jagai and Madhai may have been addicted to all types of sinful activities, they were great Brahmins from Navadvip. And in the form of blaspheming you, they chanted your holy name. And by that chanting of your holy name, they easily became purified. However, Jagai and Madhai never performed the most sinful activity of becoming the servants of Malechas and Yavanas. But we are addicted to that. Our company is abominable. Our service is abominable. Our lives are condemned. You have descended to deliver the most fallen. Please hear one thing we would like to tell you, and it is true. You will find no one more fallen than us. If you deliver us, your fame for being Patita Pavana will spread throughout the universe. We have no qualification to receive your mercy. However, like a dwarf that wants to capture the moon, we have no means of reaching you. But we have no hope but to pray and beg for your causeless mercy. Please accept us. Please allow us to surrender ourselves at your lotus feet. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the humility of Rupa and Sanatan, he began to cry in ecstasy, and he embraced them and said, please stop speaking in this way. Your humility is breaking my heart. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them, and they placed his feet upon their heads. Lord Chaitanya said, you are my old servants. Lord Chaitanya revealed that they were his eternal servants. And today I give you the names Rupa, Sanatan, and Anupam. Please know that Krishna has heard your prayers and he will certainly deliver you. Always remember Krishna. At that time, Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis appealed to the Lord that it is not a safe place here, living so close to the Nawab Hussein Shah. He is a very dangerous and violent man. And also, you are going to Vrindavan with so many hundreds and thousands of people. Vrindavan is a solitary place. You will appreciate it much more if you go just by yourself or with one or two of your associates. Then placing his feet on the head of Rupa and Sanatan and Anupam and embracing them with great, great love, Lord Chaitanya left Ramakeli to Kanai Natashala. Then he was thinking there, in Kanai Natashala, it is very much like Vrindavan. Beautiful, beautiful trees and forest just on the bank of the holy river Ganges. When Lord Chaitanya was in Kanai Natashala, he really was feeling the presence of Vrindavan. And he was experiencing such ecstasy of remembrance of the Leela of Radha and Krishna. However, all these hundreds and thousands of people, they were breaking the trees and making so much noise. Lord Chaitanya was thinking, what Sanatan and Rupa told me is correct. I should go to Vrindavan alone or with one or two others. Then Lord Chaitanya proclaimed to his devotees, I will go back to Jagannath Puri. When Lord Chaitanya met with Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis in Ramkeli, Nityananda Prabhu was there, Haridas Thakur was there, Srivas Pandit was there, Gadadhar Pandit, Vakreshwar Pandit, Murari Gupta, and Rupa and Sanatan, on the order of Lord Chaitanya, fell at the feet of all of these devotees, and all of them embraced them and blessed them. Lord Chaitanya requested all the Vaishnavas, shower your blessings on these great souls. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri, he began to explain to all of his devotees in Puri, when I was in Ramakeli, I met these two brothers. And I have bestowed my most intimate mercy upon them because of their humbleness, the humility, and their pure devotional qualities. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, Rupa and Sanatan and Anupam decided, we cannot take it any longer. We are going to go to Vrindavan, which is Lord Chaitanya's desire. We will give up our government services. So they hired two Brahmins and paid them lots and lots of money to perform various ritualistic ceremonies for the purpose of getting the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to escape from all of their material entanglements. They were constantly immersed in reading Srimad Bhagavatam and having beautiful kirtan of the chanting of the holy names.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Rupa Goswami took all of the treasures of his wealth and loaded them into boats. And he and his younger brother Anupam left to their ancestral home in Fatehabad. And there they distributed their wealth. And Srila Prabhupada explains the way they distributed their wealth is the exemplary process by which grihasthas should also distribute their wealth. They gave 50% to the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas to help them in their service of preaching Krishna consciousness. Then they gave 25% to their family members and other relatives for their maintenance. And 25% he kept with a Brahmin emergency. Then he took 10,000 gold coins and gave it to a Bengali grocer to help Sanatan Goswami if he required. Rupa Goswami and Anupam sent two messengers to Jagannath Puri because they heard that Lord Chaitanya was going on another trip to Vrindavan. They wanted to join him. These messengers went to Jagannath Puri to find out what was Lord Chaitanya's plan. And the messengers came back and said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already left for Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami and Anupam immediately decided to go. And he wrote a letter to Srila Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami, being the Prime Minister, he felt very much obliged to stay for some time. The Nawab Hussein Shah had so much love and affection to Sanatan Goswami. The Goswamis, they were dear even to the gentle and the ruffians. Even the most terrible, violent, hateful demons loved Rupa Sanatan Goswami. Rupa Goswami sent a letter and said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has gone to Vrindavan. He has already left. Myself and Anupam, we are leaving immediately to join Lord Chaitanya in Vrindavan. You should come with us. Come as soon as you can. Meet us in Vrindavan. If you require help, I have left 10,000 gold coins for you. Meanwhile, Sanatan Goswami, he stopped going to his service and would just stay home reading and chanting Srimad Bhagavatam all day with so many great devotees. And Nawab Hussein Shah came to his home, and when he saw him, you said you were sick. You're not sick. You're just studying Srimad Bhagavatam all day. What about all the duties I have given you? Your elder brother, the Nawab Hussein Shah was talking about himself, he is very fond of going out and killing so many, and he needs your help. Sanatan Goswami, he said that I will not. I resign. You cannot count on me for any more service. You can punish me in any way you like. So the Nawab Hussein Shah put him in prison. But by the arrangement of Rupa Goswami, he was able to bribe the prison guard with the gold coins, and he was freed from the prison. Meanwhile, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan, and on his return, he stopped at the holy place Prayag, often called Prayagraj, considered within the Vedic literatures to be the king of all holy places, the place where the holy river Ganges and Jamuna and Saraswati all converge together. It is the place where every year there is the Magh Mela and Kumbh Mela. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Prayag, it was the month of Magh, which is about this time of the year in January. And although these two rivers, big, powerful rivers, Ganga, Jamuna, they meet there, they were never able to flood the city of Prayag. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he was leading the masses of hundreds and thousands, millions of people in Kirtan, he flooded the entire Prayag with the ocean of Krishna Prema. He inundated everyone. As Rupa Goswami and Anupam were traveling to Vrindavan, when they came to Prayag, all of a sudden they heard millions of people very loudly chanting the holy names of Sri Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
They went to the temple of Veni Madhava. That temple is still there today. Beautiful deity. And at that temple, before the beautiful darshan of Sri Veni Madhava, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu with his beautiful golden form, arms extending below his knees, was dancing in ecstatic love, weeping and crying and calling out to everyone, please chant the holy names of Krishna. There were tens and hundreds and thousands and tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands, millions, countless people chanting and dancing, all staring with fixed attention on the beautiful golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Some were crying, some were rolling on the ground, some were jumping, some were offering obeisances to each other. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inundated everyone in Krishna Prema. Rupa Goswami and Anupam from a distant place, they offered their prostrated obeisances to the Lord. After some time, one Dakin Brahmin approached Lord Chaitanya and invited him to his house for prasad. Lord Chaitanya ended the kirtan, went to this Brahmin's house, and there he sat in a secluded place. Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Anupam, they came and they saw him there, all alone. From a little distance, they put clumps of straw in their teeth and bowed down to offer their obeisances. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw them, he called them, please come, Rupa Goswami, please come, Anupam. And again he embraced them and placed his lotus feet on their heads. He asked Rupa Goswami, where is your brother, Sanatan? Tell me about him. Rupa Goswami replied that he has been arrested. Now he is in the prison of the Nawab Hussein Shah. If you give him your blessings, then only will he be rescued. Lord Chaitanya said, he has already been free from his prison by the mercy of Lord Krishna, and soon you will meet him again. Lord Chaitanya bestowed his great blessings upon them. And then Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who was the servant of Lord Chaitanya, gave Lord Chaitanya's personal remnants of prasad to Rupa Goswami and Anupam. After taking prasad, Lord Chaitanya decided to make his residence right close to the confluence of the two rivers, Ganga and Jamuna. And Rupa Goswami and Anupam decided to make their residence right beside Lord Chaitanya's. One day, a very great and famous devotee and scholar named Ballabha Bhatta came to Lord Chaitanya's residence. And understanding Lord Chaitanya's very supremely exalted position, he worshipped Lord Chaitanya and invited him to come to his home, a village called Adaila, across on the other bank of the river Jamuna. At that time, Rupa Goswami and Anupan, they offered their prostrated obeisances from a distant to Sri Ballabha Bhatta. And when Ballabha Bhatta saw them, he went to greet them, but they started to run away. They said, "No, no, we are sinful. We are most condemned. We are the most fallen and contaminated. You should not touch us." And when Lord Chaitanya saw the genuine humility of Rupa Goswami and Anupam, he was very pleased. And Lord Chaitanya said to Ballabha Bhatta, "What they're saying is correct. You should not touch them, because you are a very high caste Brahmin and you are aristocratic, and if you touch them you will become polluted." Ballabha Bhatta, he said, "They are constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna, this I can see, therefore they are exalted." Aho Bhatta, what is that verse? Even one who is born in the lowest family of Chandalas, if that person is chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna, he is better than Brahman. He can become guru and he can deliver the whole universe. But one born in Brahman family who is not chanting the holy names of the Lord cannot even deliver himself. In so many ways, Ballabha Bhatta began to glorify Rup and Anupam upon seeing their incredible humility and devotion. Then they decided to go to Adaila, the place of the home of Ballabha Bhattacharya. And they went on a boat and they started going across the Jamuna. On the boat was Balabhadra Bhattacharya, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Anupam. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the beautiful dark water of the holy river Jamuna, he immediately became intoxicated in the thoughts of Radha and Krishna. And he just made such a tumultuous sound. He began to just cry out. Then he jumped into the river and fell unconscious. There was a great commotion. All of the devotees on the boat, they somehow or other jumped in the river and dragged him back and put him back on the boat. Then Lord Chaitanya came to consciousness, and upon seeing the beautiful waters of the Jamuna, liquid nectar of bhakti, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to chant the holy names, raising his arms very high and dancing in ecstasy. When Mahaprabhu would dance, he could sometimes, in his ecstatic love, be lighter than a cotton swab, and sometimes each of his feet, when they would touch the ground, would be heavier than the universe. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and dancing and dancing, this little boat, it started rocking back and forth and back and forth. And as it was rocking, more and more water was filling the boat. The boat was practically filled with water and it was on the verge of sinking, and the devotees didn't know what to do. Finally, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his causeless mercy, he stopped dancing. He restrained himself. And just before the boat sank, it reached the shore. There, Sri Balabhata worshipped Lord Chaitanya with so much beautiful puja paraphernalia and honored him and gave him nice prasad and gave the remnants to Rupa Goswami and Sri Anupam. Balabhata decided, I will not take Gauranga Mahaprabhu across the Jamuna to bring him back. So he decided to take him across the Ganga, where Lord Chaitanya would not be quite so ecstatic. At the confluence of Prayag, because it was the month of Magh, many people were there. It was very crowded. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Srila Rupa Goswami and Anupam to a secluded place, Dashashwamedha Ghat. There in Dashashwamedha Ghat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with Srila Rupa Goswami and decided to impart the essence of all transcendental knowledge into his heart. But before speaking, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally entered into the heart of Srila Rupa Goswami to give him the power to fully understand and realize everything he was about to say. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami for 10 days at the Dashashwamedha Ghat. He said, my dear Srila Rupa Goswami, devotional service to Krishna is like an unlimited ocean. And I am going to make an attempt to describe to you a portion of one drop from that ocean of bhakti. There are 8,400,000 species of life within the material universe. And there is innumerable universes. To achieve the rare fortune of human birth is very, very, very special. However, in this human life, most people are uncivilized. Meaning they do not follow the principles of religion. And of those who follow the principles of religion, many are just following the path of karmakanda, which means they are worshipping God or some gods for the purpose of material benefits. It is very rare to find even one who strives for the transcendental state of consciousness. And of those who are aspiring to go beyond this material world, many are impersonalists who strive for liberation. It is very, very rare to find even a single pure devotee of the Lord. Because only such a pure devotee can achieve real spiritual happiness. Every other state of consciousness, every other fulfillment of the goals of religion is superficial, artificial. It is the nature of the soul to love Krishna, because the soul's constitutional position is the eternal servant of Krishna. After revolving through so many universes and through so many species of life, when one gets the mercy of Krishna and is most fortunate, he meets or she meets a bona fide spiritual master. And through the mercy of the spiritual master, the bhakti lata bij, the seed of devotion, is planted within one's heart. One must be very careful to protect and nourish that seed. We must nourish the seed by watering it through the process of hearing the glories of the Lord, the pastimes and the teachings of the Lord and His devotees, and by constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. As we are watering that seed of devotion, we must be very conscientious, because many weeds will also grow along with that seed of bhakti. If those weeds get too much strength, they will choke the growth of the original creeper of bhakti. And what are those weeds? Desire for profit. Desire for adoration. False pride, lust, envy, anger, greed. As soon as one sees these weeds, the gardener must be very careful to immediately uproot them. We must build a little fence around that tender creeper of devotion by living a very, very pure life. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. But the greatest danger to survival of the seed of devotion is hasti aparad, the mad elephant offense, which is when you offend a Vaishnava. Offense to a Vaishnava is like letting a big mad elephant into your garden. He will leave everything in shambles. Therefore, as we are watering the seed of devotion through hearing and chanting and engaging in the 9 processes of devotional service, we must be very careful to always honor and respect devotees, never offend them. And as this seed grows through the chanting of the holy name and service to the Vaishnavas, that seed pierces through all the layers of material existence, goes beyond this earth, beyond all the heavenly planets, beyond Brahmaloka, beyond the Viraja, which is the border between the spiritual and material worlds. Then it enters into the spiritual sky, the Brahma Jyoti. And the gardener continues to offer the water of hearing and chanting in the process of devotional service. The seed grows up to the Vaikuntha planets, beyond all the Vaikuntha planets to Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost of all attainments in spiritual life. And there that creeper approaches the beautiful lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and then bears fruit. And that fruit is Krishna Prema, pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted love for the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. When Krishna accepts that fruit, then the gardener drinks the ambrosial juice and is eternally satisfied. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain to Srila Rupa Goswami in great detail the science of devotional service. The difference between the Aishwarya Bhav of Vaikuntha and the Madhurya Bhav of Goloka Vrindavan. The superior position of Krishna over all other manifestations of Godhead. And he explained the various rasas, the rasa of neutrality, dasya rasa, how to become a perfect and pure servant of Krishna, how one can elevate one's consciousness to sakya rasa, of being the intimate, loving friend of Krishna. And elevated above that is vatsalya rasa, where you love Krishna just like a parent loves its child in ecstatic love. And the ultimate of all spiritual perfections is the madhurya rasa, or the conjugal love of the gopis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained all of these things, and then he told Srila Rupa Goswami, now I want you to expand them. Write literatures. I want you to go to Vrindavan. Then he embraced Rupa Goswami and bathed him with his own tears. The next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Varanasi, and Rupa Goswami began to follow him. And Lord Chaitanya turned to him, and Rupa Goswami appealed, please, I cannot bear separation from you. Let me come to Varanasi with you. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have given you a service. Now you go to Vrindavan. Search out and find the holy places of Krishna's beautiful pastimes. Excavate those holy places and make Vrindavan a holy place of pilgrimage. Construct temples with beautiful deity worship. Discover the ancient deities that are lying hidden in Vrindavan. Install them in your temples and teach the world the Vrindavan way of worship. Write transcendental literatures with the knowledge I have given you. Extract the essence of pure unalloyed devotion from all the various Vedic scriptures and expand the cult of pure unalloyed devotion of Vrindavan to the whole world. And by your own personal behavior and through your writings, establish the proper etiquette that Vaishnavas should live by. These four instructions Lord Chaitanya gave to Srila Rupa Goswami, and then he sent him to Vrindavan. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after giving this order to Rupa Goswami, he boarded on a boat which he was going to take to Varanasi. And as he was leaving on the boat, Srila Rupa Goswami, not able to even conceive of how he will live in separation from the Lord, he fell to the ground unconscious. The Dakin Brahmin somehow or other picked him up and brought him back to his house. And upon recovering, Srila Rupa Goswami and Anupam departed for Vrindavan. When they arrived in Vrindavan, they met an old friend. His name was Subhuti Rai. Subhuti Rai was a very powerful landowner in Bengal. And he was a very generous person, a very great devotee also. He had a servant. And one time, and he actually loved and cared for his servant just like his own son. One day, the servant, on his order, was excavating a lake, and he made a mistake. Servants often make mistakes. So Subhuti Rai hit him with a whip to teach him properly. And some scar was on his body. Later on, that servant became the Nawab Hussein Khan. The Muslim emperor appointed him to be the king of all of Bengal. So one day his wife saw there was a scar on his body, and she asked him, "What happened to you?" Because this scar was interfering with her sense gratification. He explained, "Subhuti Rai, he was my master, and he was so nice to me. He was like my father, but I made a bad mistake, so he punished me." The wife became very angry. "He must die. You must kill him." "I cannot kill him. I love him. He's like my..." "You must kill him. He's like my father. You must." What to do? What to do when your wife is like this? You cannot live with her. You cannot live without her. This is the ongoing dilemma. Of course, wives think the same thing about husbands too. So, it was decided and agreed upon by his wife that worse than death is to cause him to lose his caste. So the Nawab Hussein Shah, he took water that was used to be drunk by a Muslim. And from that pot, he sprinkled it on Subhuti Rai. In those days, the Hindu caste system was so strong that if water from a Muslim's pot touches you, you become an outcast. You're not even allowed in any temples. You're not allowed to perform any Hindu rituals. No one will touch you. No one will associate with you. So he did not know what to do. He went to Varanasi, and there he approached many pundits and Brahmins, and he asked, "What should I do? Someone sprinkled water from a Muslim's pot on my head." So various Brahmins came together and began to do research, and they came to the conclusion, there's only one auspicious thing for you to do. You should drink burning hot ghee, and you will die. But because you die of drinking pure cow's ghee, you will take your next birth as a Hindu. Hare Krishna. So he asked some more Brahmins in Varanasi, and the others said, no, you don't have to drink hot ghee. So he was getting all different opinions. Everyone he asked was giving different opinions. But while Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Varanasi, he approached Lord Chaitanya and told him the whole story. Lord Chaitanya said, "You just go to Vrindavan and always chant the holy names of Krishna. Subhuti Rai gave up everything and went immediately to Vrindavan. There he was always chanting the holy names of Krishna, always worshipping Lord Gauranga in his heart of hearts. He was such a humble devotee. He was in such a mood of serving devotees. He would spend hours every day in the forest collecting dry pieces of wood that were laying on the ground. Then he would take them to Mathura and sell them. And he'd get little bit of money. And whenever devotees from Bengal, the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would come to Vrindavan, they usually had stomach disorders. Many of you from the West get stomach disorders when you come to India, because there's differences. But in this case, Bengalis, they are accustomed to eating rice. But in Vrindavan, when you beg, you only get roti, no rice. So they would have bad stomachs. So he would buy yogurt or dahi and help them to cure their stomach ailments. He would also buy mustard oil and give them massages. And he would somehow find a nice residence for them. He would serve the devotees with so much humility and devotion, care. And he would love to take them on parikrama of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Srila Rupa Goswami was greeted by Subhuti Rai. And Rupa Goswami stayed for 1 month in Vrindavan. During that month, Subhuti Rai took him to all the 12 forests and showed him the wonderful, wonderful places of Krishna's pastimes. Then Srila Rupa Goswami, while he was in Vrindavan, an idea came into his mind that I will write a drama, and in that drama I will describe the beautiful pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan and Dwarka. Then he decided that he should go to find Sanatan Goswami. So he left Vrindavan and Subhuti Rai to go to Puri to see Lord Chaitanya. Actually, in Prayag, Lord Chaitanya said to Rupa Goswami, you go to Vrindavan, you meet with Sanatan, later on you come to Puri and meet me. So on Lord Chaitanya's order, he was going to Puri along with Anupam. And they traveled by the road along the bank of the Ganges. Meanwhile, Srila Sanatan Goswami, he had met Lord Chaitanya in Varanasi. And for 2 months, Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatan Goswami and then sent him to Vrindavan. Previous to Varanasi, Sanatan Goswami was going by all forest hilly roads, because he was an escaped prisoner. But after meeting Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya said, go to Vrindavan, you have nothing to fear. Sanatan Goswami's faith in Mahaprabhu's words was so great, he just went by the main road to Vrindavan. But Rupa Goswami went by the Ganges road, thinking that Sanatan would be there. So they crossed each other and did not meet. When Rupa Goswami came to Varanasi, he couldn't believe what he saw. The whole city of Varanasi, the capital of the Mayavadis, was dancing in ecstatic love in the same way Lord Chaitanya taught, with their arms raised high, and all throughout Varanasi was the resounding sound vibration of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He stayed at the house of Chandrasekhar, who was one of the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya in Varanasi. And there Rupa Goswami heard of the 2 months that Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatan Goswami, and he heard the news of how Prakash Ananda Saraswati and all his thousands and thousands of disciples became Vaishnavas by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Rupa Goswami was filled with bliss. He stayed in Varanasi for 10 days. Then he traveled into Bengal. When he reached Bengal, his beloved brother Anupam passed from this world. Upon leaving his body, Srila Rupa Goswami performed all of the necessary rites and rituals for his brother Anupam, and this caused a delay in his travels. It was his desire to meet with the devotees of Bengal and travel to Puri with them. Because as you know, the devotees headed by Advaitacharya, Srivas Thakur, Shivananda Sen, Murari Gupta, all these souls, they would come every year to Puri for the Chaturmasya for 4 months. So when Rupa Goswami went to their place, they had already left. So he went alone. When he came into Orissa, he came to a village called Satyabhamapur, and he took rest that night there. And as he was resting, a beautiful, beautiful goddess appeared in his dream and told him, "You should not write Krishna's Dwarka Leela and Vrindavan Leela in one play. You should divide it in 2 plays. And if you do this, your drama will be a great success by my blessings." Then Rupa Goswami woke up and he could understand that this is Satyabhama, one of the principal queens of Lord Krishna who had instructed him. Lord Chaitanya, or Srila Rupa Goswami, came to Jagannath Puri. First he went to the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur had already heard the glories of Srila Rupa Goswami from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He already had met him at Ramakeli, so they were already intimate, loving associates. Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami offered obeisances to each other and embraced in great, great love. Then Rupa Goswami asked, "Where is Lord Chaitanya?" And just after this question, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the residence of Haridas Thakur. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to Haridas Thakur's house every single day. There were 3 very great devotees: Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami. Whenever Rupa and Sanatan would be in Puri, they would always stay at the home of Haridas Thakur under the Siddha Bakula tree. And because Haridas Thakur was born in a Malecha family, and Rupa and Sanatan were known as servants of a great king of Malechas, they considered themselves unqualified to enter into the temple of Jagannath. It is the social custom even today that people of such categories are not allowed in. And Rupa, Sanatan, and Haridas Thakur did not want to agitate the social customs. So they refused to enter into or even attempt to go into Jagannath's temple. But Lord Chaitanya gave them a place just next to the temple where they could see the chakra and worship that which is non-different than Jagannath himself. In April, when we take our yatra to Jagannath Puri, we will all have the good fortune of seeing these holy places and worshiping them. Lord Jagannath, he would come out of the temple in his form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to personally give his blessings to Haridas, Rupa, and Sanatan every day. He would come and bring Jagannath's prasad. When Lord Chaitanya arrived, Rupa Goswami offered his prostrated obeisances and great, great affection. And Haridas Thakur said, "This is Srila Rupa Goswami, he has come." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him with great love and placed his feet on the head of Srila Rupa Goswami. He asked him, where is Sanatan Goswami? He said, I still have not seen him. I came by Ganga Road, but he went by the main road, so we missed each other. He has gone to Vrindavan. And then Rupa Goswami told Lord Chaitanya about the disappearance of Anupam. Anupam was such a great devotee. He was a devotee of Lord Ramchandra. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much reciprocated with him in his mood of Sri Ram. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami, he mentions his beloved brother Anupam, and he says that Anupam was a great and pure-hearted devotee of Lord Ramchandra, and he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his beloved Lord Ram himself. After Lord Chaitanya blessed Rupa Goswami, he went to take his bath in the ocean. And then the next day, Lord Chaitanya brought all of his intimate devotees to Rupa Goswami. And he introduced Rupa Goswami to each of those devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami was so humble. He just prostrated his body with such sincere devotion at the feet of each devotee and worshiped them. And each devotee, their hearts melted so much by his humility, they just lifted him up and embraced him. Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami, worship and take the dust of the feet of all these devotees. And then he told all the devotees, please give your blessings to Rupa Goswami. Bless him and empower him to spread the mission of pure bhakti all over the world. When the devotees saw how much mercy Lord Chaitanya was showing to Rupa Goswami, they were so blissful. A sincere devotee derives the greatest bliss in life when he sees, or she sees, another devotee getting the special mercy of Guru, Gauranga, and the Vaishnavas. The devotees celebrated the Gundicha Marjanam